KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a partly cloudy sky at 6 degrees above zero. We look forward to be partly cloudy to cloudy today with flurries and a high around 20. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. The five-year survival rate for pancreatic cancer was raised this week from 9 to 10%. While that still means a devastating 9 out of 10 people who are diagnosed with that form of cancer won't beat it, the single percentage uptick represents significant progress. Pam Anderson is one of the rare Iowa survivors who volunteers with the Des Moines affiliate of the Pancreatic Cancer Action Network.
I was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer in July of 2015. At that point in time, my survival rate to 5 years was 6%. Our goal was to double that by 2020. We've made it to 10%. We're thrilled to be there.
The survival rate for pancreatic cancer remains the lowest of all cancers, but reaching the 10% milestone is quite encouraging, according to Anderson, who says that people in her circle are overjoyed.
Oh, we are. I got the message and I sent emails to all my friends saying, hey, we got to 10%. I was so excited when this thing came out because it's been hanging at 9% for a lot of years. And we've had a lot of push to raise a lot of money to get to that point, but you know, there's still a lot of work to do.
Statistics find 580 Iowans or thereabouts will be diagnosed with pancreatic cancer this year, and 430 of them will die from it. It's the third leading cause of cancer death in the United States and is expected to become the second leading cause of cancer death this year. Knowing that she's among the few very fortunate, Anderson says being a pancreatic cancer survivor has granted her a new perspective.
I really have spent a lot of time thinking about when I first was diagnosed and I had a grandson who was playing in a state baseball tournament. It was like, is this going to be my last baseball tournament, or am I not going to be here for this event or that event? I live better now. I pay attention to the fun things in life and enjoy every minute now.
A fast-moving disease is difficult to diagnose because the symptoms can be vague and are often ignored until it's too late. The symptoms include abdominal pain and back pain, changes in stool, yellowing skin, weight loss, appetite loss, and a feeling of being full after only eating a little bit of food. A pursuit in Audubon County late Friday afternoon ended in a crash and the arrest of two people. Dispatch reports at the time indicated authorities were chasing a vehicle that was traveling from 80 to 100 miles per hour. The suspect vehicle blew through the intersection of Highways 44 and 71 just outside of Hamlin and crashed about 2 miles west of Hamlin in a field south of the intersection with Highway 44 and J Avenue. The pursuit ended with the arrest of two subjects just before 4:30 p.m. Additional details are currently not available. Authorities say a man suspected of killing a 74-year-old Davenport resident was driving the resident's car when police spotted and then arrested him. Charlie Gary III is charged with murder, robbery, and burglary. He was arrested Wednesday. A criminal complaint says the 19-year-old admitted breaking into the home of Robert Long, intending to steal Long's car. The document says Gary told investigators he strangled Long and then drove away in the car. Long's body was found on Tuesday. Well, after months of running on unconventional campaign strategies, Andrew Yang has arrived at a point in the 2020 campaign that is governed by the conventional rules of election. The candidate powered by online buzz is now firmly on the real and often uncool campaign trail through Iowa and New Hampshire. While several other second-tier candidates are planning to use money and advertising to make an end run around those early voting states, Yang is largely sticking to the traditional path. His campaign staff has grown tenfold since last summer, and he's hired some well-known political hands. He's paid for it all with strong online fundraising. A 2020 presidential candidate who had a yoga-themed fundraiser in Iowa City last weekend has exited the race. Marianne Williamson laid off her campaign staff back on December 31st and ended her campaign 10 days later. Williamson is a 67-year-old spiritual guru who is the author of popular self-help books. She had called for the creation of a Department of Peace and gained attention on social media for saying during a mid-2019 TV debate that only love could cast out the fear President Trump was spreading. Williamson told reporters in an email that she would be unable to garner enough votes in this year's primaries and caucuses to continue spreading her message, and she did not want to stand in the way of other progressive candidates seeking votes. Williamson dedicated a fair amount of campaign resources to Iowa. She rented a Des Moines condo for a while after announcing in June that she was moving to Iowa to campaign here. Billionaire Tom Steyer has qualified for next week's Democratic presidential debate in Iowa. He'll be on stage alongside with Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, Pete Buttigieg, and Amy Klobuchar. Steyer qualified by hitting polling requirements in South Carolina and Nevada, two of the early voting states. He said while campaigning in New Hampshire on Thursday that his campaign has momentum. A new Fox poll conducted in South Carolina put Steyer at 15%. Another Fox poll in Nevada put him at 12%. In previous early state and national polls, Steyer has been mostly in the low to mid-single digits. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds says all the pending applications from Iowans with felony records who are seeking restoration of their voting rights will be reviewed before the Iowa caucuses.
Right now, we have 347 that are being processed. 80 of those just came in the last 30 days. They will be completed prior to the February caucuses.
Iowa is the only state that still bans all people with felony convictions from voting unless they appeal directly to the governor.
If individuals are interested in participating in the February caucuses, they need to get that application in as soon as possible, and we'll do everything that we can to get them through the process and get them reviewed and give them an answer one way or the other.
The Iowa Department of Corrections has just begun giving qualified inmates a nearly complete voting rights application when they're released from prison. The governor says that will eliminate the background check Department of Public Safety staff have to do.
There's a few variables to that, but for the most part, we'll be able to skip that, and that will expedite the process quite a bit.
Reynolds is again asking this year's legislators to craft a constitutional amendment that would automatically restore felon voting rights during the legislative session that starts next week. She made her comments earlier this week during a State House forum organized by the Associated Press. The U.S. Census Bureau says Iowa is one of the states where the agency is having an especially difficult time finding temporary workers. The census is hiring for office jobs in Des Moines, as well as field workers who will go door-to-door statewide beginning in May. The goal for the agency is to collect more than 21,000 applications for the part-time jobs, but Marilyn Sanders, a regional director for the census, says only so far about only half that number have applied.
Right now we're looking for approximately about 10,000 more applicants in order to complete the recruiting for the state of Iowa.
Iowa's low unemployment rate is a factor, and the Census Bureau recently raised the hourly wage in Des Moines area in hopes of attracting more applicants. Sandra says having local workers improves the response rate.
The opportunity to help us to get a complete count is when we have people that represent the community knocking on the doors.
A census determined how many seats in the House of Representatives go to each state. Some $675 billion in federal funding each year is distributed based on the population count. Sanders attended the first meeting of the statewide complete court account committee on Wednesday, where she encouraged members to organize events to drive recruiting. And it's likely the 2020 Iowa legislature will try to adjust the state-run medical marijuana program, but it's not yet clear what will win final approval. A bill last year would have let state-licensed growers and pharmacies make and sell slightly more potent cannabis-infused products. But after objections from a state board about raising the cap or limit on THC, Governor Reynolds vetoed the legislation.
Almost every aspect of that bill I supported, and they were all recommendations from the board. The only piece that I didn't support was the jump from where the cap is right now to where they went to.
The state advisory board recently weighed in again, recommending an increase in the potency of medical marijuana allowed for sale at 5 dispensaries in Iowa, but not as much of an increase as was outlined in the 2019 legislation.
They listened to some of the individuals that have been impacted by the program and, you know, actually changed one of their recommendations. And so that was a positive step in the right direction.
The board is also embracing the idea that terminally ill patients should not be subject to any limits on medical marijuana use. Republican House Speaker-elect Pat Grassley of New Hartford said it's too soon to say what lawmakers may wind up doing.
The House, the Senate, the board, and the governor have to work on a bill that we can not only pass in each chamber, but something that the governor can obviously sign. So as I sit here, I'm not going to get into what the weeds would be of that specific issue.
Senate President Charles Schneider, a Republican from West Des Moines, has met with the governor to discuss what may be possible this year.
I have been a strong supporter of medical cannabis since I came into the legislature. It's a matter of us working together and finding a way to get something done for Iowans that makes dosing more practical for patients and for the producers.
Current law uses percentages for the THC in state-regulated cannabis products rather than grams, which is how prescription medications which are typically measured. Schneider is also hoping lawmakers agree to expand the list of medical conditions that healthcare providers may recommend cannabis as a treatment for. The legislators and Governor Reynolds made their comments this week at a State House forum that was organized by the Associated Press. The news was brought to you this hour by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. I'm Rick Henson reporting.